Welcome, folks, on this blessed Sunday morning to another study. I've been studying Ephesians 1, 3 through 9, and bringing out the Hebrew, the Hebrew more fullness of those scriptures. I'm calling this lesson the awesome promises to usward, basically that are of the mystery. This is 5, and so I'm honored to be here. Which is a for sure. I don't take teaching the scriptures lightly at all. I come to it a lot of times in fear, if you will. But it's the most excellent thing in life that anybody could ever do. And so what we're going to do then, and thanks, Ron, for your continued study and for your continued faithfulness. I pray for all of us, you know, as many great men of the past have said, that it doesn't matter if we're successful, it doesn't matter if we're big wigs in this world, doesn't matter if we're rich, it doesn't matter, nothing matters except to the Lord that we trust in Him and that we are faithful to our calling. And so whatever happens in the future, and you know, Ron was talking about graduates. We were to a graduation party or two. A lot of really excellent young people out there. I mean, I don't want to be negative Norman at all. But the world that we face is, it's seethingly evil. It just is seethingly evil. It's going to take these young people to have a great strength in the Lord. And so I know that you folks out there that are working with these young people, I do really, really know that you are about that in their lives. You are about teaching the Lord to them, because they're going to need the word as they go. I certainly needed it in my college, quote, career, and he brought me through, but it wasn't easy. And so I really, really pray for these young people. And so, you know, without concentrating on the evil, filthy world that's coming upon us, I can't even imagine what my father-in-law or people like Oscar Baker or Charles Welch would think if they looked out today at this present planet. They might have a heart attack, I don't know. But the Lord has us here, and His strength, as Ron said, is more powerful than Satan's, more powerful than the world, and He is great. And He will stand by us. He is faithful, that's for sure. So let's, I just pray this morning, through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, that the words of this mere speaker would be to the glory of the Godhead, and it would be edifying to all you precious saints. We are praying for the upcoming conference. We would have liked to have been there. We have to stay here to keep our manner of living going. And so we'll be there certainly in spirit. And we really, really pray that all of you have a blessed time together in the Word of God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being around folks of your own calling, sharing the Word of God. Nothing like it on this planet. And that's why I agree with Ron totally. All right, so let's turn to Ephesians 1. And so we're going to read that. What I'm doing is, am I trying to rewrite the scriptures? No, not by any means whatsoever. But there is richness to be had in studying the Word of God. And Colossians 2, 2 and 3, we don't have to. And if Tony, if you are posting here, I really thank you for that. There's a lot of folks that operate behind the scenes for this ministry that in fact I think about, and I think about what you're going through. I think about all the people, women, men alike, that are involved in this ministry, and faithful you are. And so so I thank you. I thank you for that. And so am I trying to rewrite the scriptures? No. What I'm trying to do is bring out the full richness of our calling. And Colossians 2, 2 and 3 states that, you don't have to post this, Tony, at all. I'll just read it. And this is a fact. Like, you know, most people, or most believers, they believe in the blood of Christ and they're saved through his blood, but that's as far as they go, as far as, understanding the Lord and what he did, the prophecies what he fulfilled, him being the head of the church, the different callings and all. And so there are beautiful, beautiful riches to be had in studying the Word of God. And Colossians 2:2-3 says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I will say to you that I've been touched a bit in my life with this knowledge, and it is beautiful. It is awesome. And our Lord and Savior, the more I study and about him and his ways and what he has done, is beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful on this planet than to learn about the will of the Father through his dearly beloved Son, as witnessed by God the Holy Spirit. And so that is what I'm trying to do in going through Ephesians 1:3-9 and bringing out the Greek in it and whatever other truths might be aligned with it. So that is what I'm doing. And I believe that these are awesome, awesome promises to us. The Father, his will is awesome, beautiful. And so, if we read Ephesians 1:3-6, we find, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us by the adoption, I'm not even going to say it, children, I'm going to say adoption of sons, by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, it should be beloved one. And so for the past number of studies, we looked at Ephesians 1:3-6, and with the expanded Greek version, this is what we have. In verse 3, and you can follow along in your English KJV, may the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus be praised, because for the work he has done in his will, he should be praised, the one who has once and forever poured out benefactions upon us in the environment of every divine spiritual blessing in the abode which is above all heavenly regions in Christ. And so we can live on verse 3 alone. Because our dear Heavenly Father, and who is he? Who is our dear Heavenly Father? Christ is a creator by the will of the Father. But all you have to do is look at creation, cellular structure, body structure, structure of birds, the way they operate, the way plants operate, the way the sun operates, the way our universe operates. I mean, it is phenomenal. And that is by the will of the Father through the works of the Son. And this same one has poured upon us all divine spiritual blessings possible in Christ above all heavenly regions. And so that is something that we can stick in our heads and we can live on that. But that's just the beginning. Verse 4 reads, expanded version, in conformity with the fact that the Father chose us out for himself for a particular purpose in Christ Jesus his Son before the plunging of the perfect, harmonious, spiritual creation into the deep. The overthrow was the overthrow of something, and it was the overthrow, I believe, when Satan fell. And at one time, all of creation was a harmonious, spiritual creation. And this all was thrown into the deep when Satan fell. to be separated unto God, that is sanctified. We're sanctified without spot or blemish before his satisfied and delighted contemplation in a love that surpasses human invention. And, I'm going to talk about the will of the Father, over the wire on Saturday afternoon. And, these things that we are looking at has to do with the will of the Father. Again, who is the Father? And here he is pouring out every spiritual blessing upon us in his Son, and he's delighted in it. All right, he's delighting in this. And so I believe this. I believe that, including me for sure, that we are kept from the strength, power, and beauty of these truths. They're true. No matter what happens to us, no matter what, we've been given these facts. And so no matter what we go through, no matter how much we're jostled around and attacked by the evil world or made crazy by the madness of this world or whatever, we can go back to our calling and realize that our dear Heavenly Father takes pleasure in pouring out everything he has in us as his assembly, the fullness of Christ. Verse 5, having predestinated our destiny. We talked about predestination. Does that take the will of us does that mean that God created us to be robots? No. We'll find that the Father's will that's involved in this is his thalema. And we'll find out that that is not his determinate will, which means that his thalema, or the will of his heart, is stamped all over our calling. And I'll be bringing this out a bit on Saturday afternoon. And so his thalema has to do with our choice also. He desires things out of his heart for us to know, for us to follow, for us to take joy in. What we choose to do is what we choose to do. And so this is not his bulema, which means that his bulema would be where he would say, all you folks down there that are of my body, whammo, you're going to do everything that I will, and there is nothing you can choose. There is no will of you involved in it at all, and what I will and my bulema is to be done. Well, that is not the will of the Father that's in our calling. It's his thalema. And so as adults, we can have children that our hearts love. We die for them. But what they do is their choice. So it goes on to say that having predetermined our destiny, resulting in us, in placing of us as adult sons, not children, Christ Jesus being the intermediate agent. We're going to be looking at that a little bit if we have time. What is an intermediate agent? For his own satisfaction and delight, which is a product proceeding from the desire of his heart. That was verse 5. To the supreme exaltation of the dignity of the Father's gracious favor. It is this gracious favor which he freely bestowed upon us with honor and blessing in the dear Son of his love. And so, if we take these truths in mind, it is beautiful. It's unheard of for a human being to be blessed as we are. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. And so is our calling. Our calling is a mystery hidden God, and it was unheard of that a calling could be in Christ at the right hand of the Father. Unheard of. And so, but the unheard of things is what we've been chosen to. We've been chosen to glorious things. And so now we're going to go on to verse 7. That's the mission today. In your English version, it reads, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We're going to dissect that in the Greek. And so here we go, in whom. In whom, this briefly refers to the one described in the previous verse, and it is the beloved, the Son of the Father's love. It is in the Son of the Father's love that we have redemption. The form redemption is the form, Greek form, apolutrosis, which means literally to redeem one by paying a price, to let one go free on receiving a price. And so we're getting into the more beauty of the scriptures and the working of the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Apolutrosis, further also means a releasing effected by a payment of a ransom. And so the Father required something that we could not give. This is seen in type in the sacrifices of Israel, and that's a beautiful, the temple and all that, the sacrifices. Well, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus was in type the complete fulfillment of the law, the prophecies, and all those sacrifices. And so, in type, we can understand what he did. And he paid a ransom, or he liberated us by a procurement of a payment. And this payment is what Almighty God the Father required. And it is a ransom that the Son paid for us. And as far as apolutrosis, there are three Greek forms that bolster what this really means, this redemption. The first one is agorazo, which really means to buy or to make a purchase in the slave market. Okay, so where were we? No matter what we think about us, ourselves, we were in the slave market of sin. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. And it reads, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price." Bought. Agorazo. We are redeemed. We are bought with a price. "Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's." And this agorazo points to being bought with a price, being redeemed, bought with a ransom by our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, out of the slave market of sin. That's what you were born into. And that's what you were rescued out of. Let's read 1 Corinthians 7, 22 and 24. 22 and 24. "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, but not ye the servants of men." You are the servants of Christ. You are the bond slaves of Christ. You are bought with his precious blood. You are redeemed from the slave market of sin. The idea that the Lord bought us with a price, our state once being in the slave market or in the bondage of sin. The second form is the word ex agorazo, literally meaning to buy out of the slave market through a ransom, with the emphasis on buying out for oneself. And so we were bought out of the slave market. But why were we bought out of the slave market? Because we were bought out of the slave market by the will of the Father. That's why, through his Son. And so this is a beautiful picture. Let's turn to Galatians 3. Remember that Galatians, is an epistle during the Acts period where Paul went to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. And I just hope that, I'm going to go as far as I can. What else can you do, right? Galatians 3, 1 second. Here it is. 4 through 13. I'm sorry. 10 through 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues, not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But though that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. This is early in the Acts period, by the way. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. And by the way, nobody could complete the whole law of God until the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus did. Christ has redeemed us. He has ex agorazo from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And remember, Paul was going to the Gentiles, but he was going to the Jew first. And so, at the end of this book, you'll find that he mentions the nation of Israel. And so, even though Galatia had many assemblies that were Gentiles, there was also dispersed ones of the Jews there. All right? That should be remembered. The third form that has to do with redemption and the building of it is lutrao. Lutrao, which literally means to liberate by payment of a ransom. And so let's turn to Titus 2, 11 through 15. Oh, wait, let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 8 through 21. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 1, 8 through 21. Oh, man, okay. So we got wait a minute. I'm sorry again. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. Sorry, folks. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, lutrao, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And by the way, that's how we're going to be before the Father. Hallelujah. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, interesting. About foreordained before the foundation of the world, and we were foreordained before the overthrow of the world. For who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ was a ransom payment given to set us free from the power of sin. He gave himself and death, which are the essence and the very character of the arch enemy of the Godhead, who is Satan, the devil and the destroyer. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. The devil and the destroyer. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. It's not a joke. It's not a toy. It's not for babes. We're in a spiritual battle. And I believe this. I believe this with all my heart, that there is a wicked spirit of perversion that is being unleashed on this planet. Heavy duty. Heavy duty. Really strong. Like as never before, maybe in the times of Noah. But now it is happening. It is happening before our faces. And so we need to understand what we look at, what we listen to, what we allow our eyes to see, what we allow our minds to think on, what we read, because all of these things could be infused with the power of the evil one to get us off track. And he's done that with us. He's done that with me. I can say that, and I don't mind admitting that, because I think if I say that, it might be helpful to all of you, because he can take things, bang-o, that you see, wham-o, all of these devices, things that pop up, wham-o, they're there. Oh, what? Oh, I'm sorry, my wife told me to calm down. But they're there. Movies, bang, they're there. Walk outside, signs are there, bang, things you read, things that come over the TV, even in sports, things that come over the radio. It is all really evilly infused nowadays. Now, am I saying there's not beauty in the world? No. Am I saying that children are beautiful, young people are beautiful? No. I'm not saying anything to the contrary, but on the other hand, I think that we shouldn't be ignorant. And so our minds are the battlefield. We were to put on the armor of God more than ever before. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And if you are a child of disobedience, you are in big trouble. You're in big trouble. You're headed for death. You're headed for disaster. This redemption is through his blood. The word is the translation through his blood of the preposition through is dia, which is known to be a preposition of intermediate agency. We saw the same preposition in verse 5 where Christ was explained to be the Father's intermediate agent, used to place us as adult sons. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, 2 through 7. And I'm going to try to complete this today. If I run over, I'm going to do it anyway, okay? I just feel that I have to do this. So if I run over 10 minutes or something, please have mercy upon me. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. You know, the scriptures chronologically is so screwed up. You know, I'm searching for 1 Timothy. You know, where's 1 Timothy? Oh, Titus. Oh, hallelujah, I found 1 Timothy. You know, but Hebrews is after that. It's just really something else. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Awesome. That's the best life in the world, right there. That's the best life in the world. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the mystery. For there is one God and one mediator. He is the intermediate. There is one God and mediator, the intermediate between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Hallelujah. And so what we did is we looked at what an intermediate agent is that the Father used Christ as the one mediator. And so he mediates between the body of Christ and the Father, as he mediates between believers in all callings. The meaning here is the same with the difference that it is the blood of Christ, pardon me, that was used as the intermediate agent to bring about our redemption. The blood of Christ For the blood of Christ satisfied the just demands of the Father's holy law requiring a sacrifice or a covering for sin. And so Christ was the fulfillment of all the types of all the coverings and all the types of the sacrifices of Israel. And so, it's funny. Why did the Father require blood? I'm going to leave that to you. That's, I think, a very interesting study. This redemption is defined as the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is the Greek form aphesis. Aphesis or aphesis, which literally means a total pardon or a cancellation. Punishment, the punishment and the guilt totally has been pardoned. Satan will still always try to make us feel guilty. He will always try to make us feel lowly and guilty. But our sins, no matter if we're, no matter who we are, or no matter what we're going through, or no matter what we think, are pardoned forever. Period. Let's turn. This has to do with a cancellation. This faces a pardon as if nothing has ever been committed. And see, what the evil one does is he keeps us from that fact that we can walk upright with our sins totally forgiven, as if we never were sinners at all. A remission of the penalty forever. We can stand tall on this. The heart of this truth is vividly set forth in Psalms 103, 8 through 17. Psalms 103, 8 through 17. And it reads, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewards us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us, as if never committed. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust, and we should know that for sure. For as for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children." The word aphesis carries with it the idea of God putting away sin on a judicial basis, a lawful one, and to his remitting of the guilt and penalty, which are the products of sin, as if never ever done by us. The form in the Greek found for the form sins is the Greek word parapama, which literally means a falling aside when one should have stood upright. This definition reminds us of the great truth which plagues all of mankind. All of mankind sins. Sin plagues all of mankind. Our sins are as filthy rags, no matter how pious we might think of ourselves. It plagues kings, and it plagues paupers alike. It plagues billionaires, and it plagues streetwalkers alike. There's no division amongst human beings, no matter if a human being thinks he's a total dirtball, or if a human thinks he's a total god We're all under the penalty and the darkness of sin. Let's turn to Romans 3, 19 through 27, or 26. We're coming around here. Romans 3, 19 through 26. And it reads, "Now we know that whatever what things soever the law saith, it says them to who are under the law, that every mouth shall be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." All the world is guilty before God. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, because no human being can keep every nit and tittle of the law, but Christ did. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is what we just read about the definition of sin, coming short of being able to stand before God. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past and future," I'll put in there, "through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him and her which believe in Jesus." Awesome. Awesome realities. Finally, we come to the phrase, "according to the riches of his grace." The words "according to" are the translation by the Greek preposition kata, which literally means down or to hold down. It carries with it the idea of domination, or better, of control. Okay, so the control of this redemption is under the domination of somebody. The control over the degree of forgiveness is kept by what follows, which is the riches of his grace. So the control of this redemption through the blood of Christ is under the domination of the grace of the Father. He controls this redemption. He controls this by his riches of his grace through his Son. And so, in our call, we should understand the Father. We should understand the Father more. Yeah, Almighty God the Father. We should understand him more, and the works and the Son more, and the witness of the Holy Spirit more. We should understand the Godhead more, like never before. The word grace, as we have seen before, is the word charis, which literally means favor, and carries with it the idea, as all of us know, unmerited favor. And so, when we go back to Ephesians 1, 7, Ephesians 1, 7, we'll read it in the English again, and then we'll read it in this expanded version, and I'm just trying to bring out more of a fullness of our calling. That's it. I'm not trying to rewrite scriptures by any means. It says in verse 7, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The expanded version, it reads, "it is in the Son of the Father's love that we have been ransomed out of the slave market of sin, the blood of Christ being the intermediate agent, in order that the guilt and penalty of falling aside, of being upright, is pardoned as if it was never committed." this ransoming being controlled by the unlimited wealth of the Father's gracious favor. And with that, I'm going to end with that. And in subsequent studies, I'm going to go through verses 8 and 9, reading these all through. And I'm honestly doing this. I just really pray that that it might bring us all to a closer relationship with the Godhead, with the Father and His will, and the Son and His works, and through the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and that these facts might be more real to us than anything else, because I really believe that we need these facts and these truths to stand and to stand against the wiles of the evil one. And so thanks for being here, and we pray for the upcoming conference, no doubt, and we pray for the speakers. Sometimes it's not an exactly easy thing to be a speaker, because it's a fearful thing to get up in front of people and to get up in front of the Most High and talk about His Word. It's a scary thing, but it's the most beautiful thing on earth. On the other hand, and so thanks for being with us. We love you, and I don't know, I don't have too much else to say, and I think, and so thanks you guys and gals. And have a blessed rest of the week and a blessed conference. We'll see you.